But before we do, just let me bring you up to speed on Phil and Sharon Papineau. Some of you may have heard, some of you have been praying, some of you aren't aware. Phil and Sharon are usually in the second service, and they sit about the second row in right here. And this Friday morning, early, about 3:30 in the morning, we got a call that he had had a heart aneurysm, and it was bleeding. And so we get to the hospital, they are trying to life flight him out to different places. They finally found a place in Fresno. He is still in critical condition. There's a second aneurysm which has not burst. And so pray for Phil and Sharon. If you don't, they're fairly new to our church. Interesting, just a perspective. I actually was coming to the office about 4 o'clock in the morning, and I get a call, and so I head to the hospital. And as I walk in the room, he's conscious, and their first concerns were Sharon says, "You got to tell Glenna, Sunday was my first day on the platform for worship team." And I said, "I think she'll give you a get-out-of-jail-free card this week, you know." And as we talked and as I prayed with them and as they started to come to move him, he said, "Well, I'll see you Sunday to worship." That's what Phil said. I said, "I don't think so, but I know one way or another you're going to be worshiping." Pray for them, would you, please, today. It's obviously stressful and obviously in that process. There's no update as of this morning. Their son didn't give me a call, so I don't know. Other than that, they're waiting. They're trying to do surgery, the second aneurysm. They feel the first one has stopped bleeding on its own. So they're waiting just to see. They realize at this moment he's too weak to live through a surgery. And so they're just waiting to see if they can get stronger to go that. So just pray for the Papineau family, whether you know them or not. It's exciting that she said, "Man, God brings us to your church, and then look what happens." And I said, "Well, don't blame me, you know." But I said, "That's exactly why God brought you to our church. Exactly why. Because there's not a better loving community than this church right here." And we've already seen that. I was amazed because obviously I got the first call, but by early morning, as I was exchanging, there were life group people headed to the hospital. Amazing to me. And that's the way the body works. I'm appreciative. So would we just pray with me, please, as we come and just pray for Phil. Father, this morning, I just thank you that we're here. Thank you that we have the ability and health to be here this morning. May we never take that for granted. May we never, every breath that we take, may we see it as a gift from you. Father, I pray for Phil and Sharon and Matt this morning. I pray you give the doctors wisdom. I pray that you would heal miraculously or medicinally, however that may be. But I'm also thankful that Phil is well aware that the greatest healing in his life has already taken place, and that is a spiritual healing, that he loves you, he knows you, and that he's your child. I pray you would give them strength. Sharon is worn out. I pray that you would just help her to sleep and get some rest. I pray that even in the room down in Fresno right now, that you would just fill that room with your presence. They would long to be here worshiping with us. So I pray that you would take our prayer, that you would invade that room and fill it and envelop them with your presence. So just be with them. I pray for others who are in our church who have issues of health and of jobs and the issues that they're facing. God, be with them as well. Bring them peace. May they see your will. And may they trust and rest in that. So thank you for this morning. We appreciate the ability to be here in a corporate way to sense you and to bring our request to you as well as worship together. For it's in your sons that we pray. Amen. Expectations. Expectations. All of us in life have expectations. I will tell you this morning, it's a little weird. Some of you who know me know that I'm an old-time guy. I use yellow pages. But normally by the time Sunday morning comes, these are all gone. And it's down to a media format for Marva. It's down to a 8.5 by 11, whatever type. But this morning, as we come, it was in such fluidity throughout the entire week as of this morning. So I said, "Well, I'm just going to take all the notes and I'll just choose which page I'm going to go off of as we get there." But the reality of that is that God has a message that He's laid on my heart, and for many years He's laid on this heart of mine. And today's the day, in one sense. It's the fulfillment of a dream of mine. And it's the fulfillment of what God is going to do. And so in one sense, I'm saying, "Man, God, this is an awesome opportunity." And when you see, because you have expectations. I have expectations in life. I had expectations in ministry. I had expectations almost 12 years ago as I came and joined a group of 20 people who started at that time Blossom Valley Community Church. Expectations. We have them in everything. You have them in life. We have expectations within that. As a child or as an adult, I had an expectation of a child. Never forget the Christmas when Marva gave me the mumps, but I had an expectation of getting that Red Ryder that BB gun. I didn't get a Red Ryder, I got a Daisy. But I was still okay with that. I was still okay with that BB gun. The greatest thing is that I could shoot Marva with it now. And so within that process, within that process, I wasn't a very good shot, was I? No. the process of that, we have these expectations. We were talking about it this morning, even in the office, and they didn't realize what they were saying, but one of the guys was saying, I think it was Ryan, I won't give him up, but Ryan was saying, you know, we talk about gifts and all this stuff, and it's time we get expectations, and oh, we're supposed to be so excited because we got another pair of underwear for our birthday or for Christmas. Oh, yeah, great! Oh, really? Okay, great, thanks. I need it, but you know, that's not what I wanted. We have expectations. We have expectations as adults. We have certain expectations that we see, and sometimes we get disappointed. There's job disappointment because you take expectations to a job and you think this is the way it's going to be. And when you look at the job description, you think, man, this is going to be great. It's going to give me ability to work, ability to make an income. I'm going to love what I'm doing, perhaps, or at least know there's turmoil. But overall, man, I'm taking this job because I really want to do this. And then all of a sudden you may get in there and over time that job may change and it's not exactly what you wanted at all. And now you're saying, oh boy, frustration. Because the expectations just aren't being met. And you say, oh, maybe I need to make a change again. There's obviously church disappointment and church expectations. People come to church. I realize that every time, every person who walks through that door, you do too, I do, we walk into church, there's an expectation. Hopefully that expectation is a good one. Hopefully that expectation is coming to meet with God, to be challenged, to be stretched, to be grown, to risk, and to say, God, thank you, man, this is great. But some come into church expecting, God, what are you going to do for me? What are you going to do for me? What are you going to do for me? And it's, I don't like that song. I don't like that music. I don't like this. I don't like that. And the expectation, there's disappointment in that because it's not just what you want. I know it doesn't happen in this church at all, ever. But there's pastoral disappointment as well. Only in Ben. The expectation of a pastor that the pedestal approach and the whatever it may be, and you look at the pastor and think he's got to be this and that, and the reality is, and people say, you know, I've heard it a number of times this last week, well, the church is full of hypocrites. I confess. And I'm thankful that God forgives hypocrites because he forgave me. And I'm thankful that God forgives sinners because he forgives me. And there's times people come in and they expect the pastor to be able to do all and to be all, and I can't. Nor can Ben. And there's the expectation that brings with that, and you get disappointed. And so therefore, we have so many things that take place within that. The expectations that we bring. And from that, we may think that we know what we want, and we may think we know what we need. And sometimes those are the same. But they're all based usually upon our expectation. In counseling, I tell people, in marriage counseling, the problem is not communication. I get you mad enough at me, I know what you're thinking. I have no problem. I never get mad at my wife, so she has no problem. But my wife gets mad at me. She's not in the service. And she can, you know, I'll know what she's thinking very quickly. Very quickly. Bam! Okay? Now, the reality is our frustration comes when those expectations aren't met. But we have them, and sometimes we don't communicate them. Many of you wives expect us to know your mind, to understand you, which is, come on. And then to read what you're saying, and we can't do that. I mean, you know, I could give you example after example in my own life of where I was supposed to have known this, and I didn't know that because I'm not a mind reader. But we take our expectations about everything, and then we say, this is what I want, and this is what I need, and we seem to know that. And we base it upon that. And so we'd say, well, I want this. Have you ever, and you say, I want, in any form of life, in any area of life, I want this car. This is the car I want. And you may ask others, you may think that you need it or don't need that, but this is what you want. And you may be thinking, this is exactly what I need, and that's what I want. And you may ask others about this idea of, what do you think about this car? Do you think I need this car, want this car? And whether some people will give it to you, others, whether you ask it or not, they're going to share with you, well, you don't need that. You don't need that. You may want that, but you don't need that. And we look at that, and sometimes what really gets bad is when you realize, step back and say, they're right, you know. But some things I want, I may not need it, but I want it. And sometimes we go the other end, either good, sometimes we say, well, I want the base model of this. And somebody with wisdom may say, yeah, but look at what you do, look at your job, look at this, that. The base model's not going to be, and it may cost you more, but it's what you really need. It's something that's not exactly what you think you want. And somebody say, no, you're wanting the golden, you know, you're wanting the golden sled there when really all you need is a horseless carriage type thing. And you may, oh, yeah, but I don't want that. I want the best. I want this. But do you need that? And we start to, and it's all based upon expectations within that process. We bring those expectations. Now, obviously, sometimes it's less than what we expect, and other times it's more, and we make changes. Isaiah, in the last few weeks, we've been looking at Isaiah. As Pastor Ben said, the life groups are coming to an end. Hallelujah for some of you. And I know it's been tough. We get calls. Can you explain this? You got to chew on it. But as we started Isaiah, there was something very, very, very simple. It needs no real explanation. I don't need to exegete this passage because it is, you let the word interpret itself. And in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah is hearing the voice of the Lord, and he says, the voice of the Lord says, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Now I could exegete that, except I don't need to, because the next verse, Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Pretty simple within that. The expectation is, here's a job to be done. Here's a need that has to be. And we looked at that, and are we willing to say, here am I, send Ben, here am I, send Bill, here am I, send my neighbor, here am I. When we look at the world around us, it needs to be reached and touched for Jesus Christ. When we need to have an influence in the sphere of influence around us, do we expect us to do it, or myself, or do I try to get someone else to do it? And I'll tell you what, there have been so many things, but even last week, as Steve Campodonico was here, if you were here, you were blessed. You were blessed to hear Steve Campodonico. We didn't preface Steve with anything to say. We just said, come share with us. Man, Pastor Ben and I were about doing, well, he was about doing a cartwheel. I would have sat down in the chair. But we're in the back because Steve's message, man, that was challenging. To get out of your comfort zone. And he has to do that. The issues of things that he did not share because of some of the stuff. He was back recently, back where he serves in that process, and I'm going to be careful here just because of our own service, where he serves because of issues of real issues where he was to the team that he was, and in 10 days he had to move 9 different times for safety issues. You didn't hear that. That wasn't his heart. But let me tell you, when he speaks of stepping out and taking a risk and trusting God and getting out of your comfort zone, he's speaking of what he does, of where he is. The issues of that life, to get out, and he asked us to trust God to do something through you, to do something that God can do through you, to risk, to listen and hear God. I wrote down that he was challenging us to do perhaps something that others would think would be just impossible or may label it crazy. That would make no sense in that process, to do something that God would see as that you would say, others would say, well, whatever. And yet as I walked away from that, I questioned, and I don't know why this picture came into my mind. The question is, are we edited or cropped? Are we edited or cropped? Now, we understand edit, you edit, I edit a sermon, I edit, we edit newspaper articles, we edit, we look and we scratch out things, we edit, we crop pictures to fit. And I wondered at times if we in our Christianity, if in our life, we live an edited and cropped life. We live an edited and cropped life. We edit our Christianity. We strike that which doesn't fit, or we don't understand, or we don't agree. So we edit that part out. We just write it out. We edit out, well, that's good for, that may be good, you know, that may be good for the Arch of Letters, but it's not good for me. That may be good for Rush and Joy, but it's not good for me, so I edit that part, and I'm going to let them take that part. We edit that process, and we crop it out, perhaps. We crop our Christianity. We crop our belief system to fit in our culture, to be politically correct, not to offend. So we crop it out and say, well, you know, or we crop it in that box and say, well, my parents believe this way, so that's the way I'm going to believe. Or the opposite is also true. We have those who rebel against that. That's the way my parents believe, so I'm running the other direction. But do we crop our life? Do we crop our Christian life to fit that? Do we edit our faith? Do we edit our trust factor? Do we edit the issue of, well, God, I'm going to edit it. I want to trust in you, but I want to have control. I want to have the power. So in the areas that I can trust in you and there doesn't seem to be any kind of great loss within that, I'll trust in you, God. I'll trust in you for someone else's issues. But will I trust for my issues? Will I live by faith? And we looked at what by faith is. Remember, it's considering God. That's what faith, walking by faith really is, considering what God wants for your life. That's walking by faith. In every area of our life, we consider what God wants, to walk by faith. To consider God. What God, what do you, and we take that expectation. Because when we ask that question of God, what do you want? It changes our expectational value system, does it not? Today, God, it's not about me. It's about you. And I want to measure that expectational issue there. And so, God, we want to live by faith within that process. I think at times we crop our risk factor, don't we? I think that's what Steve was challenging us not to do. We crop our risk factor. How much risk am I really going to take? Do I really want to step out of this box? I need to crop the risk factor to fit within the parameters of which I'm willing to sacrifice. We do it a lot. I know, because if I take that step, it's going to involve risk. And every risk involves sacrifice. Every risk. And am I willing to crop it and to live in this box, to fit into this box, that I'm going to crop my view, crop my Christianity, crop my risk factor, that faith factor of really trusting in God? Am I going to crop that and then live within the box of this, because I don't want to push the box out? The problem is the boxes are always made by us. They're our own boxes, folks. They're not God's boxes. God says, man, there is no box. I'm the God of the universe, the creator God, and yet we crop everything to fit into our system. And so instead of the issue of being challenged, we draw the lines of our box of where we are comfortable. I'm comfortable. Some of you are very comfortable here this morning. That may be a bad thing. That may not be a good thing that you're so comfortable. Because we live in a box that says, okay, oh man, don't do that. We have our box, and when we step out of that box, we get uncomfortable. About 12 years ago, a group of people came together. I think there were 23 total. And based upon just where they had been, they decided to form a church. That church was going to be called Blossom Valley Community Church. Now, through time and development, obviously, and even at that time, let me clarify here. I did not start this church. I did not. And in fact, when they asked me to come to this church, I said no initially. And in fact, I gave them the name of two different individuals, friends of mine who were pastors, who said, I think you need to call these guys, because I'm not your guy. That was. I can give you the names of them today, of those guys. Those guys didn't work out. I actually don't even know if they ever called them. I don't know. But I gave them, because I wasn't the guy. At that point in time, I said, no. Janet and I were considering going back into missions, going back into different parachurch organizations, healing, wanting just to see where God would take us. But through a crazy way of events, Erica came to visit the people who started Blossom Valley. She came to one of the services. And she came home and said, Dad, you're screwing up. Senior in high school, just graduating, going to go to college. Sometimes you hear, how can my kid tell me what I want or what I need? You don't know, because I have an expectation, and I don't want to hear that you're changing my expectation, because that's not the box that I want to be in right now. But I listened. Maybe something's happening. And through that journey, I ultimately, months later, came to pastor the group of people that we have here today that started this church. I started rehearsing that in my head. I mean, there's things even I forgot. I started looking back through some of our archives, some of our pictures. Man, we had the dog days of Sunday where we got kicked out of the places we were meeting because we had dog shows. We walked in, there's dogs everywhere. So what do? Well, we're going to walk around the corner. Do you remember going to the park? I mean, Glenna, do you remember? I was thinking, Glenn and I, we've been through, don't take this wrong, but we've been through hell and back together. Oh, yeah. We have. And I know some of you are already writing notes, but you know what? There is, in ministry, there are times that it's not heaven with you folks. It's the other side. But I remember, I was thinking, and you remember the joy? We were sitting out there. We couldn't use the piano because we had no electricity, and we didn't have much going on a guitar at that time except me, and that's bad. And we had different things, and then we were in the community center and had all kinds of issues. Our nursery, our children's program was, remember, one room in the kitchen of the community center, and when we grew to the point where we needed to split toddler and nursery, we put a black curtain down the middle. You guys remember that? Do you remember the trailer, guys? All of our trailer teams, every week, in and out. Some of you guys in the back are going, oh, yeah. And yet, do you remember every morning, man, the joy we had setting up, and every morning as we take those chairs, you remember the black curtain that we decided we're going to hang from the goalpost to goalpost, and Mike Strong put a trucker's hitch on that thing and about pulled the goalpost, the basketball standard down, remember? Started bending this way. I think it's tight enough. I think it's tight enough. We're going to pull the standards right out of the wall. And of course, now we have media. Do you remember? Guys, do you remember? The overhead projector. And we would put it on the big box that we kept the piano in, the electric piano. Remember that? And we'd set it up there, and we'd have somebody trying to change the overhead projector, and then the screen that we had to try to get up because it was on mounts. I know some of you are saying, this is a home week. What are you saying? I'm just saying, man, you look around and all this stuff. And then we move from the community center. We go to the Union Hall, which was the smoke hall. I mean, it's going to be great. Remember all that? Dude, do you remember the week that we worked round the clock, guys, men and women? We painted the walls. We had the murals on it. We did the lighting. We did everything. Rusty, I was telling Rusty, you got to get this sound done. You have a long time to do it. Like 3 days, Rusty. Okay, man, he was up there on the scaffolding. Remember those services we had in there where we went to 2 services because we couldn't get him in? Move from there and we say, God, where are we going to go? What are we going to do? And then God opens this door here. We're blessed to join with a group of people here. We change a name. All those things are little things. And all the place, the community center, the school, we did a part in the school, remember that? That means nothing, really. I mean, it's great. But what really was exciting about that and about all of that was the fact in the process that people's lives were being changed. And that was what it was about. It was about people's lives being touched and being changed. I'm going to ask you today, James chapter 1, verse 19. Listen to me. I know this contextually. Those of you who are theologians understand this. I understand this isn't the contextual truth here, but listen to me. It says, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. I realize contextually, in fact, most people don't even realize contextually, that's actually talking about the word. That the context of that is that the word were circular letters written, and people would come, and they would read the letter. They would read the letter of let's say, the Ephesus letter. They would read it. They didn't have it in written form. And what he's telling them is, as you hear the word being proclaimed that has been written, you be swift to hear it, slow to speak, don't start debating it, and slow to become angry because it may change your life. That's what he's saying. He's really not talking about just a character quality, though that's the way most people interpret it, and it's fine. But he's talking about being ready to hear the word, to respond to the word, and don't put up a barrier to that. And this morning, I'm going to ask you in the next few minutes to do just that. I want you to be swift to hear. I want you to really to be slow to speak, or in a non-politically correct way, just shut up and listen. I want you to hear, and then some, unfortunately, will have the attitude, perhaps you may be tempted to say, I'm angry, and I don't want that. I don't want that at all, but I understand that may be the response. And from the beginning, I shared my vision with our board 12 years ago when we came together, that my goal was to impact people, to equip people, not just to equip them, but to replicate them, and ultimately to replicate ministry. I believe we have seen God work. I believe we have impacted people. As you look across this room and in the next service, we've impacted people. The joy of my heart is that we've equipped some of you in ministry far beyond what you even thought was imaginable. It does my heart good to see some of you who put your heels in the ground and said, I can't do that, and yet you're doing it today. Praise God. Have you not seen over the course of this past few years the replication process of people in our church who are replicated doing ministry? The number of guys who feel like God has laid their hand on him to want to do ministry. We must create, and I believe it's time now that we replicate the ministry. To replicate the ministry, allowing people who we've replicated personally to minister within that process. You see, Pastor Bill, what are you talking about? It's very, very simple, and many of you have heard, and for some, this will be a brand new issue to you here. But for some, there's nothing but secretive. You've known it's my heart. If you've listened over the last few years, especially the last few months, you've known that my heart is to birth a new church. And folks, consider today the labor pains have begun because we're birthing a new church. We are giving birth to a new church. Now, for some of you, you may not say that. What in the world are you talking about? I'm talking about we're birthing a new church. And the birthing of that new church is going to be the process of where we're going to equip more people. We're going to equip more. We're going to reach more. We're going to see the guys that we've replicated in ministry here take a step forward. We're going to see Ben pastor a church. We're going to see his heart being reached. We're going to see, listen, no, don't clap yet, because we're starting birth pains. I've not seen a mother yet starting labor pains saying, oh, thank you, Jesus. I haven't seen it. The clapping's going to come, though, folks. The clapping's going to come, because we have taken years in this making. In my heart and in my ministry, it's been years saying, and the board has saying, hey, let's throttle back here, throttle back. But there's a new birth taking place. And this past year has been made very clear to me and very clear to our board and the steps that we've seen that we are going to start a new church. We have replicated people in every area of our ministry who can walk right into that process and lead. Some of you, even this morning, some of you in the process of Glenna, Ben and I have already targeted some of you, and you don't even know it. You got a bullseye on your back that says, guess what? You're going to be part of a new church. For some of you here this morning, that's going to say, what the heck are you talking about? I'm talking about we're giving birth to a new church. We are going to give opportunity for people to replicate. And in the process of that, we will have a new work. And then the hardest work is going to be a renewal of the work. The renewal of the work right here. Because we're taking some of you people and we're sending you. We have targeted South Tracy. We have looked at this. This has been years in the making. It's not something that's quick, and it will be a year in the making. We're not rushing this. We're waiting for the Spirit of God. The foundation has been laid. We have prayed about it. We had a fantastic board meeting yesterday with additional board members as we look to make the administration of this process. And I've asked you as we come to this today to be swift to hear. And over the next 4 weeks, we'll get into more specifics of this. But briefly, and I'm out of time, but I want to briefly share that the response of this can be in a number of ways. Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah was, the walls of Jerusalem were torn down. The walls of Jerusalem were, and the exile, people were coming back. And so I'm going to rush you. Just listen to me quickly because we don't have a lot of time. But Nehemiah shared the people. He shared what was happening. He said, I also told them about the gracious hand of my God upon me and what the king had said to me. God's vision here of rebuilding the wall and how the king worked. We have a vision here of what 12 years ago started. And those of you who started 12 years ago should look around and say, look what God has accomplished. All glory goes to him. Every bit of it. And he comes to that and he shares that vision and allows him to see. And then he says, it's great. He says, see what the king had said to me. They replied, let us start rebuilding. So they began this good work. Do you see that? He says, God has a vision. I'm just the messenger of that. God gave this vision. God says this is his plan. God's plan was foremost. The identity of the nation of Israel needed to be established around the walls of Jerusalem. That's where the establishment of that of his people. I have a plan, he says. Nehemiah, you're just nothing but the minister. You're the architect of this. You're going to pull this together here. And as Nehemiah shared it, do you see what happened? It said, they started. Let us build. As we come to this issue of starting a church, the instrument, Nehemiah was the instrument within that. Let us build. They took ownership within that. Even this morning, I asked one man, I hope I'm hearing from God. I hope this isn't, because if it hears from God, I'll know how it's going to be heard from God. Because if people rise up and say, let us go, let us rebuild, let us new work, and let us renew here, and I'll do what I need to do. And ultimately, they came to the point where they had a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other and said, we're building. This isn't Bill's vision. This isn't Ben's vision. Hopefully this is the vision of God, because I know it's God's plan to reach people for Christ. I know the greatest challenge and the greatest issue of reaching people for Christ has been the church. Down through the ages is why God established the church for that purpose. And from there then, but listen to verse 19. He said, but when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Geshem, the Arab, they heard about it, they mocked us and ridiculed us and said, what are you trying to do? See, I'm understanding. I've been in church ministry long enough to know that just because we believe that God has given us a vision and a burden and a dream to do this, that there are going to be some of you who don't like change. You're going to look and say, wait, and you may have to process through this. This, I understand fully, is an opportunity, an opportune time for the devil to create division within our church body. I'm well aware of it. My board is well aware of it. We will be on guard against it. But I understand it. Because some will say, well, what? We could go to another service, or we could have a few extra chairs. We can do whatever. It's not about what we have to do here. It's what we have to do out there. It's what we have to reach out there. It's what we have to do to give guys. Listen, folks, let me just tell you, and this is not on the script. If you haven't seen the development of Pastor Ben over the last few years, you've been blind. And let me tell you something else here. And Ben, close your ears. If we don't create the opportunity for Ben here, he's going someplace else. I'm just telling you from a pastor's heart. And guess what? He should. He should. From my heart, he should. God's prepared him. We need men who can stand in the platform like he does and deliver God's word like he does. And churches around America are looking for him. We're going to start our own in that same process. We got to give places for Cassie here and Brandon and people to grow, to replicate the ridge. And Mike Satoris to stay here. Though you, Mike, where are you? There. You know, he needs to step up here. The issues of our church, but it is the opportunity for division. It is the opportunity for division. But the last word, Nehemiah responds, but God will give us success. Bill's not building this church. Ben's not building this church. God's building this church. 12 years ago, 20 people didn't build the church. The hand of God laid upon them. And the architect was the Spirit of God. And as we go and as we grow within that process, let me cut to the chase here, and you can have some response. Your response can be, let's build. Man, we're ready. Let's build there and rebuild here. Let's renew here, and let's do it again. Let's do it again. Because, see, folks, my goal isn't just to create one new church. I hate to blow you away. My board keeps saying, can you just slow down a little bit? Because we're in the process, starting now, we're building one, and I'm already 3 years ahead, 4 years ahead, doing it again. And again. And again. To where there's a Grace family of churches. And we're seeing people come to know Christ. We're seeing ministers from our own body rise up and lead. Is there no greater joy than within that? Isn't that the greatest thing in the world to be able to do that? So here's what I'm asking for you. First and foremost, pray. I realize today some of you are going to have to transfer this and say, I don't understand. There's not been a lot of information given to you except we're giving new birth to a new church. But I want you to pray. I want you to pray for the leadership. I want you to pray for this church. I want you to pray for the endeavor. I don't want you just to talk about it. I don't want you just to gossip about it. I don't want you to become divisive about it. I want you to pray about it. First and foremost, that's what this is all beginning. To pray, say, God, give the leadership wisdom. Change my heart. Help me to see where I fit within this. Second, I think the issue is that I want you to trust. I want you to trust in God. Now, some of you say that's very simple to do. I trust in God. This is a little harder. I'm asking you to trust in the leadership of this church as well. I really am. Not just me. I'm asking you to trust in the leadership of this church who has prayed about this, have seen this, talked about this, worked within this. I'm asking you to say, God, I may not see the big picture right yet. In 4 weeks, maybe I will. You still may not. But I'm asking God, I want to trust in you. I want to trust the fact that God's called us to go to the world, to live Matthew chapter 28, to live the Great Commission. We're going to do that. It's a good thing. And lastly, I'm going to ask you to move. To move. You say, move? I'm not asking you to move to Tracy. I'm not asking you to move to Lathrop. I'm not asking you to move that way. I'm saying, God, what's the next step in my spiritual journey? What is it you want me to do? In this process, I don't know where you may say, I don't know where I'll fit or if I will, but God, I want to be willing to do whatever you want me to do. What's the next step in your spiritual journey? If you're here for the first time today, guess what? The next step in your spiritual journey maybe is consider God, that you have a relationship with him. But maybe you're here for the first time or second time, and maybe the next step in your spiritual journey is to say, I'm coming back next week. That's my next step. Maybe your next step is to say, you know what? Man, God, I need to get involved in a life group because that's where the life of the church takes place. Some of you out here need to say, you know what? I'm starting sitting on the sideline. I'm not going to be involved in a life group. I'm going to lead one. That's taken place already. I hope more than anything else in this process of praying and trusting and moving, because yes, some of you have already been asked in this process to consider certain things. And some of you are going to be specifically targeted. But all of you right now are being asked to either make new or renew Grace Church. All of us. And that process to see what God did. Could you just imagine, just think if we actually took that challenge of each one of us reaching just one. Not 10, not 20, just one. That if each one of us in our entire sphere of influence could just reach one. Look what would happen. Just think, dream. Can you imagine that? And that's our goal. So I'm asking you to pray for me. My leadership knows the weight of this for me. I realize that there's going to be blowback on some of this as I just don't get it, I don't like it. And I hope I can respond to you with grace in that process. And I realize for some you're going to be saying, I see this as new birth and you see this as divorce. There's no divorce taking place. You'll see that in the days to come and the weeks to come. There's no divorce here. There's going to be so much back and forth and together events and the process and ingathering. But the reality is the plan of God, listen to me, bottom line, the plan of God must supersede our personal agenda. Are you with me? Our personal agenda is secondary. Our friendships are secondary to making new friendships. Our comfort zone is secondary to the challenge of risk, of reaching out and saying, God, wake me up. Don't let me be comfortable. Challenge me to reach others. I know this is scary, and it's more scary for me than it is for you. I feel the weight of it. But I'm asking you to trust your pastor's heart. It's what I'm asking you to do. It's really what I'm asking you to do. I feel that weight now every day because we laid our hands at the plow. We're not looking back. And I realize there will be some who will say, okay, you're going to be stand out and say, well, what do you think you're doing? I hope to have the heart of God and be hearing God and following him. That's what I hope to be doing. To impact this kingdom, his kingdom eternally and for eternity. And to challenge some of you to stop being spectators and start being participants in the kingdom building of God. Let's pray. God, I pray this morning that we would turn our eyes on you. That would be the desire of our heart. I know there's so many more questions than answers right now, but may they just catch the heartbeat here. May they catch our heartbeat that we want to impact this world. But we've seen you work through Grace Community Church. We've seen you do that. We want to replicate that. We want to challenge people to do that. God, I believe I've heard from you, and I don't want to lead that direction, but I pray for those who will not understand. I pray that you would, God, help us to change our hearts and change our lives. That would be about loving you and loving people, that your plans would supersede any of our personal agendas, God, this morning. I pray for the next service. I don't know what words will come out in the next service. I don't know, but maybe we leave here with a joy of saying, God, we're going to do something in the next 9 months. 9 months from now, we're going to see you work in a great way, and we're going to be challenging, and we're going to see a kingdom built for you, and we're going to see people's lives change. God, may we have that desire. May you spark that fire that burns within us to be used by you.